Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. If you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Today we're speaking with Thalma E. Lobel, an internationally recognized psychologist and expert on human behavior. A former chair at the School of Psychological Sciences at Tel Aviv University, director of the Adler Center for Child Development and Psychotherapy, Thalma has been a visiting professor at Harvard University, a visiting scholar at Tufts University, also at the University of California at San Diego and New York University. She is the author of Whatever Works, The Small Cues That Make a Surprising Difference in Our Success at Work, and How to Create a Happier Office. And Thalma, thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
And we're certainly excited to have you with us, and thanks so much for coming out today. So tell us, for starters, what actually inspired you to write this book, Whatever Works?
Well, that's a great question, because, you know, I've been professor of psychology all my life, writing articles in professional journals that were read only by psychologists and researchers and professors. And I always wanted to write for the general audience, that, you know, things that will help people be more successful, happier. There are so many great findings that people usually don't read about them. So 6 years ago, I wrote my first book, Sensation, The New Science of Physical Intelligence, which was for the general audience, about the influence of our physical sensations on our behavior, judgments, and decisions. It was quite successful, published in 15 countries, translated to many languages. So that really inspired me to write this book, Whatever Works, The Small Cues That Make a Surprising Difference in Our Success at Work, because I continued the first book, but now focused on the world of work. And there are so many tips here that I believe can help a lot of people be more productive, more creative, and happier, and increases their well-being, and all based on science. So that's what inspired me.
Yeah, certainly understand that, and thanks for hitting on some of the major highlights on the inspiration of writing this book. So, Thalma, how would you say this book is different from other self-help books that are out there in the space about work and success?
Well, it definitely is different, because other books that are self-help books are mainly thinking about one major subject, like motivation or relationship, how to develop relationship, or they're focusing on more narrow subjects like Dress for Success or stuff like that. These are all important books and very helpful. But my book is really different. It is based on cutting-edge science and novel experiment, and it focuses on elements that we are less aware of. And even if we are aware of them, we often don't think they matter. These are factors such as lighting, temperature, clothing, gestures, movements, behaviors that are there all along, virtually under our nose, but we are less aware of them, or we might have only given a passing acknowledgement to their effect without thinking about it too much. Yet they influence our behavior, our performance, and our well-being without noticing. So I think once I show them all these, people really know how to do little things like what you should do with your smartphone, what color should you look to be more creative, stuff like that that people don't think about, and it helps.
Now, taking that even further, and you mentioned lighting earlier, how can environmental factors like room temperature, light, and windows influence our performance in ways that we might have not been aware of?
Well, for example, let's take light, for example. What we usually think about light is that if there is light, we can see better, right? And sometimes we don't want the room to be too bright, so even if we have a window, we close the shades and just look at a computer. What people don't know is that light has other functions. For example, first of all, daylight is better than artificial light, not only because, you know, it's nicer or something like that, but it really makes us more awake. There are many studies that show that people who worked in offices without windows performed worse than those who worked with daylight. So first of all, you have to know that if you have a window, open it, even if you see your computer screen and you think you don't need it. Second, even if you are in the evening or you don't have a window, still, when you're tired, light the room. A room with more light wakes you up. It takes you out of your fatigue. So this is another function. And another function that I'm sure people don't think about is that we are more self-aware of ourselves when the room is, you know, with more light. People tend to cheat more or to choose less practical choices, not to comply to the rules when the room is dimmer. So, or shout more at other people instead of controlling themselves. We have more self-control when the room is light. So when you want, you know, to behave at your best or be more ethical, think about it and remember the function of the light. So that's one example. Temperature also, it's easier because people know what is comfortable for them, but they should know that within the comfort zone of temperature, being a little bit to the cooler side, is better for performance. So within the 68 to 72 degrees, don't make it warmer, because the more warmer the room is, the less will be the worse will be your performance. You might not feel it. You think it's, you know, it's comfortable, it's nice, but you will be more tired and your performance will be worse. So within the comfort zone, lean a little bit towards the cold side. Also, a warmer room increases conformity among people. So that can be used when you want to negotiate with somebody and you want the other person to agree with you, or you want to sell something and you want the other person to agree with you. Temperature has a function in it. On the other hand, if the temperature is a little bit too high, you cannot make decisions on a very complicated issue that you have to consider many factors. So temperature influences more than just being comfortable or not. And, you know, I just talk like 2 minutes because we have so many things to talk about. But in the book, I show a lot of experiments, really interesting, to show that the function of temperature and light and windows, etc.
Well, I certainly find this to be quite interesting. I'm sure the audience finds this to be interesting equally as well. Really, really good information here. Now, also, I'd be curious, what is the influence of nature on our performance and well-being? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, nature, it's actually my favorite question, because it has a lot of, it's a very important role. You know, especially now in the coronavirus pandemic, it's caused a great deal of stress around the world. People are worried about the spread of the disease and its implications, getting sick, and are worried about their future. Many people lost their job or closed their business, and some are worried that they might lose it. Older people are afraid to be sick. People are afraid that, you know, there is a lot of uncertainty. All this is very stressful. And work, even without the pandemic, can be very stressful. So we need something to reduce our stress. There are many things that can reduce your stress, say exercising, yoga, meditation. All these are important. But I want to talk about nature, which is very easy to do. Just a walk in the in nature, or even looking through the window at a nature view rather than urban, will reduce your stress, as measured by many studies when they took people and put them either in forest or in urban environment, measure their blood pressure, their cortisol, which is the stress hormone, and found that those who stayed in the forest always significantly were less stressed than those who viewed or walked in urban environment. But so and they did the same thing in Stanford when they asked people to walk for about 50 minutes either in urban environment or in natural environment, and they found again that it reduced the stress and they performed better cognitively. You might ask me, you know, a lot of people don't have, you know, if they're sitting in their home and in the city and work at home or in the office and they don't have nature. So you don't have to have a forest or a beach or a river, which is great, but many often you can't do that. It's enough if you have some trees and flowers that you can just walk or a park and look at them. So if you have a park or something, just take a break, even for a short time, even 5 minutes, and look at them. If you don't have even that, look at pictures, photos, do an imaginary walk of in nature in the internet. It's very easy to be done. And also listen to nature voice like waves or birds in the internet if you don't have any other opportunity to go out or to look from your window. All this will definitely proven will reduce your stress and will help you perform better when you are tired, you're mentally fatigued, and you know you have to take a break. Even if you're very stressed and you have a lot of on your you have to finish so many jobs, take a break, even a short one, 5 minutes, and do that. As I said, either look at real trees, flowers, park, or if you don't have a choice, look at pictures or make an imaginary walk in nature. Guaranteed, based on many, many studies.
Quite informative so far today. We're speaking with Thalma E. Lobel, an internationally recognized psychologist and expert on human behavior. She is the author of Whatever Works, The Small Cues That Make a Surprising Difference in Our Success at Work and How to Create a Happier Office. And she's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Thalma, what is the influence of smartphones on our performance?
Well, you know, we all know that smartphones help us in many ways. We can be available anywhere. We can answer texts even if we are riding our bike. We can, of course, have the email and all that. But also really have some bad influence on our performance. In one very interesting study, there were three groups that were asked to perform some cognitive tasks similar to what you do at work, you know, when you need attention, focus, and analytics thinking. And one group was told to leave everything outside the room, including their smartphone, and just sit at their desk with nothing. The other group was told to leave everything but the smartphone and to put the smartphone on their desk. The third group was told to bring everything in, but to put the smartphone either in their pocket or in their purse. And then they were given the cognitive task. Those who had the smartphone on their desk performed worse than the other two groups. Those who had the smartphone outside the room performed best. The researchers said maybe it's because, you know, they checked messages, even they didn't touch it. So they divided each group to two groups. One group was told to turn the phone off, no power. And still, those who had the phone on their desk, even turned off, performed worse than the other groups, which means that just the mere existence of the phone next to you disturbs your performance. My tip, just if you have to work on something, just take the phone, put it in another room, and that you will not see it. And if you're expecting an important call, you can go after an hour and check. But just put it, not just turn it off, put it in another room and you will see the results.
You got to love that feedback, and no surprise there. Really appreciate that. That is definitely a big help to be in the know on that. Now, many of us are working virtually now due to the pandemic. Are there any special considerations that one needs to make when applying the principles from the book to our work at home life?
Yeah, well, first of all, you have to think about the background. You have to think about the angle of the camera that you will not be seen as if you have to think, look at it before and see, because if the camera is looking from you from down up or up from up down, you look different. And that is related to power. So, you know, look at the angle of the camera before you do. First, second of all, don't sit without your pants. And I'm not, you know, there are many videos that say that, you know, that you think nobody sees you, you know, if you're wearing pants or not. But there are some videos that somebody got up and then they saw that he is with no pants. But I'm not talking about that. You have to feel, especially if you're negotiating or interviewing, if these are important, not just with a friend, you have to think about it as if you're facing that person face to face. Because why? Because there are many studies that show that the clothes we wear not only influence the way we are perceived, but also our own behavior. There were many studies that show that people who wore, for example, a white coat of a doctor performed better than those who did not wear that coat. You know, because doctor is associated with smart or, you know, something like that. There are other studies that show that people who were asked to wear business suit to negotiation performed better than those who came. It was an experiment, so they were asked the other group to wear flip-flop and shorts, and they performed worse. They got less concessions than those who wore a business suit. So what I'm saying, feel comfortable on the one hand, but think about the clothes that you're wearing, even if you think that some of them are not seen in the Zoom or online interaction.
And thank you so much for that. I have one last question for you as we conclude today. What are the tips that you can give us that will help us in a job interview or in negotiations, not only face-to-face, but virtual?
There are many tips. I can, you know, so I'll focus on two that come to mind, and the rest you will have to read in whatever works. One is gestures. When you're in an interview or a negotiation, some people mimic the other person and just without noticing it, unconsciously. This is a very known phenomenon. And this, when you do it subtly, you don't really, you know, if somebody touches his or her hair, you touch your hair too. And that increases the bonding. So you can do it very subtly if you are sure that you're not overdoing it. In negotiations, there are many questions about, for example, I can talk a lot about the physical influence of, for example, if you are sitting on a soft or hard chair, for example. There are studies that show that people who sit on a soft chair were softer negotiators than those who sit on a hard chair. So when you are negotiating, or even if you are in a Zoom conference or negotiation, you choose a hard chair, so you will be a harder negotiator. Expressing anger, there is a whole chapter in my book about how whether to express anger or not in negotiations. And you know, the answer is quite long. I don't know if we have time for that. But in general, if you do express anger, express it towards the offer, not towards the person. And don't shout, just say, you know, this is really, I'm very angry that you're making such an offer. But there are many, many, many more tips that, you know, when you read the book, you'll see, or when we have another interview.
Thelma, it has been super awesome to have you with us today and much appreciated. Again, we've been speaking with Thelma E. Lobel, an internationally recognized psychologist and expert on human behavior. She's the author of Whatever Works, The Small Cues That Make a Surprising Difference in Our Success at Work and How to Create a Happier Office. And for further details, simply visit ThelmaLobel.com. And of course, this link will be added within the show notes of this broadcast. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.